Did you know that Gazette print subscribers have full access to digital content at no extra cost? Activate your digital subscription now to enjoy the latest headlines, sports updates, and more at thegazette.com or through the Gazette mobile app. Read the page-by-page daily newspaper with the Green Gazette, perfect for on-the-go reading. Activate your subscription at thegazette.com/activate or call 319-398-8333.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Triple Option Football Podcast. I'm Jeff Linder. I'm in the middle, I think, at least on my screen. I've got KJ to the left, JJ to the right. What's that? Clowns to the left of me, Jokers to the right. What's that song?
Yeah, but we probably qualify for both.
That's about right.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm on the middle in mine. So anyway, it's kind of like the Brady Bunch. Week 9.
I'd rather be a clown. Are you okay with being a joker? That's fine.
I'm all right with being a joker.
They say the two best words in professional sports are game seven. You know, for high school football, it might be week 9. And here we are. Welcome to fall. Welcome to fall weather. And let the fun begin. It's like I said in my little charticle I had for this week, it's a hybrid week. The last week of the regular season in 5A, 4A, 3A, the first round of playoffs in 2A, 1A, A, and 8 player. So let's go ahead.
Do you guys like that staggered start to the playoffs?
No, I'm okay with it. My guess is that that's what the Football Coaches Association wanted, so that's what we're getting. It's fine.
There's such an imbalance in the number of teams per class.
Yeah.
I understand it, but it just seems weird having one group start playoffs and the other, you know, group kind of finishing things off in the regular season. There's just kind of this imbalance.
Yeah. It's kind of strange, but
yeah. But
yeah, I don't know.
As we said in Four Downs, it's probably the best system that we've had. Honestly, and that's something that, you know, you just deal with.
Yeah. Both of you quick, KJ, we'll start with you. Tell us about, your game, your week 8 game and what you saw.
I had one of those games that, would classify as a humdinger, out at Prairie. I had, Prairie hosting number 7, Iowa City West. It was a back and forth game between these two until probably about the last 5 minutes or so. Prairie was able to get a big drive capped off by a long, I believe it was 53-yard touchdown run by Dawson Call, who had a big night, 159 yards rushing in that touchdown. That put them ahead with a couple minutes to go. I think 2:26 to go. You know, it was a close game that we've kind of been used to with these two teams. Prairie drove down in the opening series. David Fazen with a 6-yard touchdown run. And then West came battling back. Reese Wheeler, I tell you what, there were a few just eye-popping, mind-boggling plays where he just let it rip and let some receivers make plays. One was a 70-yard touchdown pass to Julian Manson that ricocheted off a receiver, kind of a jump ball, and defender from Prairie jumped up with Manson. Tipped the ball. Madsen just kind of stayed with it, caught it, and then was off to the races for 70 yards. There's another time where Wheeler hit a wide-open Henry Elser for a 70-yard touchdown pass, and looked like West was kind of in control at that point, but Prairie kept battling back. Run game, very effective for for the Prairie Hawks. They rushed for like 220 some yards there. You know, and that's might be one of those defining games for Prairie. Now, Iowa City West has a toughie here this week with Linmar, who seems to be hot. Four in a row for them, and they have a shot at the playoffs. Iowa City West, you know, pretty safe bet to be in, I believe, right, Lindy?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. A loss would make it close.
Okay.
But I guess the thing that I would be scared of if I'm West is if I'm the 16 and Linmar's the 17 you know, causing a flip-flop there.
Yeah, so. That's right. You know, Campbell Janis also had a really good game in losing effort. You know, we talked about Wheeler. He threw for 246 yards. Janis ran for 140 and a touchdown that actually tied things up before the drive that Call scored on. Also, Drew Bennis from Prairie. He's healthy. He came back, had two huge touchdowns. One was a kickoff return after one of those long pass plays that helped keep Prairie in the game. And then he made a nice catch in the corner of the end zone from on a pass from Kale Kongshaw. That put them up in the third quarter before Janis tied it. So Prairie's got some of their playmakers back. It's been weird that they've had such an up and down, you know, they beat West, lose to Cedar Falls before that. You know, and then Cedar Falls loses to Linmar. Think they head to Dubuque Senior this week to finish out the season. But I think Prairie has to be pretty excited after what they were able to do on Friday.
Yeah, yeah. JJ, it looks like you're back up and running.
For now. Not
going okay, to well. But before the Wi-Fi elves get you again, why don't you tell us a little bit about your game last week?
Yeah, Xavier 34, Decorah nothing. You know, battle of top 10 teams. I think they were the top two teams in the RPI in the class, actually. But, you know, Decorah had like a 60-yard run on the very first play of the game offensively, and thus ended the highlights for the Vikings, literally. Got down inside the 10-yard line with that run by Trevor Cannon, and Xavier held him out of the end zone, blocked the field goal, and then the rest of the game was all Xavier. So I can't imagine anybody I don't see. I mean, obviously you still have to play, you know, pretty well, and in a one game situation, anything to happen, but I don't see anybody beating the Xavier team, boys. I know you both have seen them as well. I mean, they're just so they're so fundamentally sound. They have, you know, they have the quarterback, they have the offensive line, they have the receivers, they have the running backs. You know, Cash Park scored on a run, a pass, and a reception. you know, in the game Friday night, and the defense was really, really good and didn't limit, or, you know, limited Decorah to virtually nothing. So, and then you got a good kicker too in the Vasquez kid. So I just, you know, that's a really good football team, and they dismantled, I think, a good football team in Decorah. And, but I just, you know, my first time seeing Xavier this season, the biggest thing, and I think you guys have talked about it too, is they don't have anybody going both ways. And that is a humongous advantage in any class, especially in 4A where you don't have that. So, yeah, just very impressive. And they play a lot of juniors too, right? You know, which is even crazier because they could be just as good, if not maybe even a little bit better next season. But obviously you got to play them one at a time and, you know, you got to prepare well and, you know, not make mistakes. But this Dave Xavier football team is really, really good. Bottom line.
All right. Well, I was at North Liberty, and I saw Iowa City Liberty beat Iowa City High 48. You know, actually, City High had the more yards in the game, but and it wasn't as if they lost. Let's see, they were even on turnovers. So, you know, it was kind of a little bit of a field position game. Liberty didn't have to go as far. They did have a interception for a touchdown, which the cool kids call a pick six. Adrian Clary got in front of one and returned it 38 yards for a touchdown. So that was a big play. Turned, you know, they scored 17 points in about 2 minutes, and a 7-7 game was 24-7, and Liberty played from ahead the rest of the game. So some kind of fun, you know, sparks in that game. Liberty onside kicked once and got it when they were ahead. Liberty kind of did a pooch kickoff. They didn't quite get that. They faked an extra point and went for two, got it, but penalized. So they settled for the one there. So it was a little spicy. So that's okay. Any other highlights that really stand out from week 8 before we move on to this week?
Well, obviously,
Milwaukee Northwest.
Yeah, Waukee beat Northwest 31-28. That was big. Not a huge surprise, I don't think. With Waukee winning that game, and if they would beat Waterloo West this week, then I think we're looking at 8 CIML teams in the playoffs. Is that right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Here's the interesting thing about Waukee. So they're 3-5. But they have outscored their opponents by 2 points overall this year. So that tells you how competitive they've been, even though they've got a losing record and been they've had a tough schedule. But how many 3-5 teams do you know have a scoring advantage over their opponents at 8 weeks in?
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often. I'm just kind of looking here. Look at this, their schedule. They haven't been blown out this year. Their biggest loss was 16 points to Dowling. So I totally believe that they're one of the top 16 teams. And if they beat Waterloo West, I think they belong in there. What do you guys think?
Yeah. I mean, being 4-5,
100%. I
think we've seen, wasn't West Des Moines Valley 4-5 one of the last 2 years when they went over to Pleasant Valley and ended up going on a little bit of a run? They might have been 5-4 last year, but I think 4-5 the year before that, where they upset PV. Waukee might be a similar type team.
Yeah. Well, wasn't Southeast Polk 5-4 before they got hot and won the championship last year?
I think that's right.
We'll just take a real quick look through the RPI, and if you guys see anything or know of anything that's wrong with this, let me know. It's just me and a legal pad. Don't have any of those cute computer formulas. So 7 teams I'm sure are in no matter what. That's Dowling, Northwest, Sioux City East, Liberty, Johnson, Ankeny, Valley. I think Cedar Falls as well probably is in regardless. Some win and in teams. Dallas Center Grimes is probably okay even if they get beat at Kennedy, but a win would certainly make that a little less dramatic. Iowa City West is sitting pretty good. They've got Linmar, and we all know how Linmar's been playing lately, so that's a dangerous game. And then I think after that, I think it's you better win. And that would be next in line. That's Prairie, Waterloo West, which we just said plays Waukee, Norwalk, which hosts Waukee Northwest. Indianola does not have a gimme in Urbandale. Southeast Polk does in Des Moines East, and Ankeny Centennial does as well in Sioux City North. The next 3 teams on the outside for now looking in are Waukee at 17, Dubuque Senior at 18, Lindmar at 19. And I think any or all of those can play themselves into the tournament if they win. Does that sound right to you guys?
You nailed it.
All right. Pleasant Valley's at 20. They play Davenport Central. Maybe with a lot of help. 4A, let's see. 9 teams are in automatically right now, I believe. Sergeant Bluff Luton and Fort Dodge in District 1. Western Dubuque is in from District 3. Sorry for getting out of order there. North Scott and Davenport North play for that second spot Friday at Eldridge. District 2, Xavier's in. Decorah and Waverly play for the automatic bid for second place there. District 4, Newton is in as the champion. Pella Grinnell, they play at Grinnell for the second spot. North Polk and Gilbert are both undefeated in District 5, and they play. They're both in, and they play for the championship at Gilbert. And then ADM and Glenwood have clinched the top two spots in District 6. So after that, you go into that pool of at-large teams. I think Decorah is going to be in no matter what. Pella is going to be in no matter what. North Scott is probably in no matter what. And then, Lamar's, Lewis Central – are sitting 14 and 15. They'll be highly favored Friday. Then after that, Davenport North, would they get in with a loss? Probably a pretty good chance. Mason City sitting at 16, but they play Xavier. And then after that, Waverly, if they would win, they're automatic. If they lose, it's really iffy. And then Burlington's an underdog. Spencer's an underdog. Grinnell's an underdog, so then I don't know. 3A, it's a little more murky because there's a lot of teams still playing for automatic bids. There's only 7 automatic bids taken care of there. District 1, Sioux City Heelan's the champ. Sioux Center and Humboldt play this week, and Sioux Center wins, gets second place if they win. If Humboldt wins, it's probably a 3-way tie with Webster City in there, and then it comes down to the point differential thing. District 2 is pretty simple. West Delaware and Clear Lake are 1-2 in the RPI, 1-4 in our poll. They're both in, and they're both 8-0, and they play at Clear Lake, and winner wins the district. Loser will be probably the best second-place team to choose from there. District 3, Wallert's the champ. Assumption is 3-1, DeWitt 2-2, Mount Vernon 2-2. Assumption makes it everything easy if they beat Mount Vernon. If not, then it comes down to points. If you assume Central DeWitt a 17-point win over CPU, then Mount Vernon's got to beat Assumption by 12-plus to get that second spot. And if they don't, I think they might be out.
Who would have thought that at the beginning of the year?
Yeah. I guess a simple win might get them into that large pool, but it's too early to say. Solon is the champion in District 4. Really good season for the Spartans. They're 8-0. Mount Pleasant is the second team if they beat Fairfield and might be anyway coming down to points. We'll just say for now that they are. District 5, how's this for a situation? If Williamsburg wins and if Des Moines Christian beats Winterset, Williamsburg wins the district by head-to-head over Nevada. Any other situation, if Winterset would beat Des Moines Christian and Williamsburg, let's see. Williamsburg might be in some trouble. They would probably be the third team. They might get an at-large bid, but that's no sure thing. District 6, Carroll and Atlantic, similar situation to Clear Lake and West Delaware, but without the really good overall records. They're both 4-0 in the district, and they play for the title, and the loser is the second-place team there. Not going to go into the at-large stuff much. We'll just kind of stay local with this. If Independence and Benton Community both win, I think they're both in. And District 2 would have four teams. So, and I would say four deserving teams. What do you guys think?
Without a doubt. And I think those are four teams that could win in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not just four teams being happy to be there, right? I think all four of those teams are capable of beating yeah. opponents and advancing to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, and I think West Delaware absolutely is a dome caliber team, and mm-hmm. you know, Independence or Benton on the right night, if they get the right draw, who knows? You know, right. could they go to a Wallard or to a Solon in a quarterfinal game and pull an upset and get into the dome? Maybe. So
wouldn't say never on that.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll just kind of go through the 2A pairings quick, and you guys can tell me which game you're most excited about there. 2A, Anamosa is at Roland Story, Bellevue at Waukon, Crestwood at Albernette, Denver at West Branch, North Fayette Valley at Mid Prairie, South Tame at Van Meter. And we'll just talk about the games there that have area teams, those six. KJ, I know you're going to be at Albernette on Friday.
I will be.
So what, you know, what really stands out about those games? I think your game Friday is going to be a really good game. I think Bellevue-Waukon is going to be really good. I think Denver-West Branch is going to be a really good game. I'm not convinced that North Fayette Valley might not be competitive with Mid Prairie. JJ, we'll start with you on this. What do you see in 2A that really trips your trigger?
Wow. Bellevue-Waukon is interesting to me. I don't know why. Those two, three games to me are really interesting. OABCIG and Western Christian really is intriguing to me. I think Crestwood can play with Albernette. We'll have to wait and see. Dyke, New Hartford, Wilton, I think is very intriguing. And then, man, the 4-1 games, I don't know that I necessarily see any game there that I think could be a real huge upset, but you know,
yeah.
Let's KJ. Find out. How's that for being wishy-washy?
Yeah, it's okay. KJ, go ahead.
Obviously, Crestwood Albernette. Crestwood, I believe, was in that district with Osage and Waukon. And Albernette, you know, two districts really clashing there. When you had West Branch, Bellevue, and Albernette pretty much tying for the best record in their district, and West Branch ended up winning the tiebreaker there, Albernette 2, and then that sent 7-1 Bellevue on the road. I think that's a tough matchup for Waukon. West Branch has been playing really, really well, and they're the only ones to hand Bellevue a loss so far. So, I think that'll be a good one. I don't see a lot of upsets here. JJ touched on it. But Dyke, New Hartford, 5-3 at 6-2 Wilton. I think that's a game that could come down to maybe whoever has the ball at the end of the game.
Yeah, agree. Any other thoughts on 2A?
No, I just think, we talked about the district in 3A, with Clear Lake and West Delaware, four really good teams that are making it. When you look at West Branch, Bellevue, and Albernette, pretty much all being district title caliber teams, I think we're going to see just how good those three teams were. They'll have some tough matchups, but certainly I could see them going 3-0 on Friday night.
Yeah. I did forget one game. West Liberty's at PCM.
Right.
So let's see. And I guess before we move down a class, kudos again to South Tama. They've got a really tough draw against Van Meter, but
right.
For them to get into the playoffs at 5-3, I would say everything from here on out is gravy for the Trojans, but congrats to them on, a really nice season so far. So, we'll move to 1A. We've only got three area games in 1A, don't we? And
right.
Two of them look like mismatches in Jessup at Beckman, and as well as Northeast and Regina. I think we all agree that Union Cascade's the area game of the week in 1A. Agree?
Yes, 100%.
Didn't you cover a Union Cascade game that came down to the final field goal, maybe in the playoffs or to determine a district champion? A handful.
I
of
might
years
have. Ago? I think you're right. I think it was a really low scoring game at Cascade. I'd have to go back and look. It's been a while.
Yeah.
So, that game we got
mixed up actually. What's
that?
No, what's I that, was JJ? Just gonna say I remember being at Cascade for a Union game.
Okay.
Oh, maybe it was you. Okay, maybe it was.
Cascade's got Mick Hoffman. He's thrown for 30 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Eli Fritz has 56 catches. Brody Otting has 41 catches, but 17 of them have been for touchdowns. So that's pretty good. Yeah. And, so Cascade averages 33 points a game, Union 31. So, I think that's going to be a really good game. Anything statewide in 1A that, you guys are really excited about?
One that I think it's kind of caught me off guard a little bit. Manson Northwest Webster has kind of been sneaky good there on the state, across the state. Interested to see them host Lawton Bronson. I think at one time I had Lawton Bronson ranked. I think that's a game to kind of keep an eye on. Hinton at Emmitsburg. That's another one that could go either way, even though I kind of favor Emmitsburg there. And they're on the road, but, Truro I-35, I think that's a team that's better than most number threes hitting the road. And they're at Sigourney Kyoto, 5-3 at 4-4. That might be an interesting one there. And then you got Clarion Goldfield Dows at Waterloo Columbus. Record wise, it's kind of right there with Union and Cascade being a close matchup on paper, at least.
Okay. We'll move down to A, and let's take a look here. We've got Columbus at North Lynn. We've got Maquoketa Valley at Danville. We've got Starmount at Wapsie Valley, and what I think is going to be fun is BGM and Riverside. I know it's a long, long trip for the Bears. You look through the numbers there. Bo Burns and the quarterback from Riverside, Jackson Gordon, both put up big, big, big numbers. Both teams average 40 a game, and you look at the credentials of this team, and you think BGM's still an eight player, and Riverside's right there with them the way they can score.
Yeah, this might be one of those football games turned into a tennis match when the crowd's just looking back and forth because the teams are just going up and down the field. When you have somebody like Bo Burns that's put up big numbers, even when people are expecting him to have the ball, he's going to have BGM in just about every game that they play in. And obviously Oakland Riverside has a playmaker to match him as well. So that's a game that really kind of stands out. And I'm interested to see Maquoketa Valley. You know, that's a team that coming into the season was, you know, had a lot of potential. I know some injuries kind of reared its ugly head and affected them a little bit, but they're 6-2 going to Danville at 6-2. I think Maquoketa Valley is part of a district that's pretty tough compared to maybe that Class A district that Danville was in. Might be a little night and day compared to competition that they're going to see in the postseason.
Yeah, I think you're totally right there. Let's go down to eight player quick. Belle Plaine's at Easton Valley. East Union is at Montezuma. Moravia at Iowa Valley and Waco at Edco. And I think we're in agreement here again. The premier game area wise is Springville Turkey Valley. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. That, you know, record wise, they're pretty similar. You know, Springville got an extra game in with a week zero contest against Iowa Valley, but can't talk enough about the turnaround. Might sound like a broken record because we've mentioned it each of the last few weeks, but Springville's gotten healthy after an 0-4 start, and they've rifled off five straight wins. You know, in those wins, they've scored 49, 42, 50, 52, and 59 points. Obviously, the schedule wasn't quite as tough as it was in their first four when, you know, they faced four ranked teams, and their losses to Montezuma and Easton Valley were by a combined 7 points. So yeah. That's a team that's really hot right now, heading up to Turkey Valley. When we talk about some upsets in the area, I think that's maybe the most likely when you think about the road teams winning.
Yeah. I'm not sure we'd call that an upset, would we?
No, I just meant upset.
Yeah, the road team winning. Yeah, exactly. But
no, I agree.
And
I agree.
Yeah, you talk about those first four opponents. Those first four opponents are 29-3.
Yeah. Iowa Valley unbeaten, Edco unbeaten, Montezuma and Easton Valley 7-1. Montezuma 6-2 or 7-2. So Montezuma's got a toughie with East.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, before we leave the Springville Turkey Valley thing, you know, Turkey Valley's three losses are to top 10 teams, Edco, Garrigan, and Don Bosco. So, two teams that might be better than the record. I think Springville's definitely better than the record would say. So, and, you know, I think the winner of that game is going to be a pain in the tail for whoever they play next. So we've lost JJ. Wi-Fi is a bad thing. And
some days
we've had it in our area out here today too. So I totally get it. Anything else you want to touch on? Anything about the season? Anything about the big schools finishing up, the small schools getting started?
Well, one thing, just kind of visiting a couple things that we've had on our four downs that you can find at thegazette.com. You know, one of the questions there with what happened last week in Class 5A, you know, and I know JJ's opinion is Central Iowa is still the, you know, the area of dominance, but I still think there's a lot of parity in Class 5A, even within those teams. And you know, you got Waukee beating Waukee Northwest. You know, you've had teams beat Valley and Dowling. Sioux City East has come over and gotten a win against Central Iowa and played competitive with another team. Liberty has gone over and gotten wins against top 10 teams. We don't have one unbeaten team in the class, even though every other class has at least two unbeaten programs heading into this week. is it really outlandish to say that there is parity in 5A, even though the top five or six teams are still the Central Iowa teams? But it just seems like it's not the guaranteed win every week now for some programs.
I agree. I think Liberty's close. You know that they can pick off one of those teams on the right day. Cedar Falls, maybe. I think Sioux City East played two road games. You know, they played Ankeny, what, 6-point loss, and they beat Johnston, both on the road. And that's not just a hop, skip, and jump from Sioux City to suburban Des Moines. So I think they deserve a lot of credit. Now, can somebody do it in the postseason? I don't know. Sioux City East, if they win, they're probably going to get a home game. So, you know, their first two games, somebody's going to go up to Woodbury County and see if they can get it done.
Right.
We'll wait until next week. As far as if we want to make any playoff predictions till all seven teams or all seven classes are playing, but
we got to wait until we see our pod of death,
group of death. I think somebody just was it
Ramel our friend Ramel Slaughter. Yeah, he just
friend of the program.
Yep. So we'll have next week. We'll have to flush those out in each class.
Yeah.
So it's always fun to see how that. I've got a feeling we might have a couple that. In this area.
Yeah, I think we're going to have some of those in 3A.
It'll be unavoidable. I really think with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. With that said, I think we'll call it a day. It'll be an abbreviated edition today. We missed JJ and the last 20 minutes or so, but I think we went through a lot of good things, and we'll have a lot to go through next week. And we'll call it for now. For KJ, for me, this is week 9, Triple Option Football Podcast. And thanks for joining us. And KJ, send us out.
Keep your head on a swivel.